The opinions expressed on this WebmasterRadio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WebmasterRadio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Thank you for calling WebmasterRadio.fm during office hours. Please hold while we connect you to one of the most sought-after experts in SEO, analytics, and web development. We're connecting you now to office hours only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here's your host, Vanessa Fox.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Office Hours. I am your host, Vanessa Fox. This is Webmaster Radio Thursday, January 20th, I think. I never know the date. It's terrible. Anyway, is that right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yay. I got something right. Yep, so we try to come to you live every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific. So join us in the chat room if you happen to be listening and aren't like driving your car or something like that. And if you're listening later on the podcast, hello to you as well. You can always send your questions over if you're not able to listen live. So, hi. So, I'm actually in San Francisco right now. I just gave a talk this morning, and I'm headed back to Seattle today. I woke up this morning with a terrible, terrible sore throat. So, hopefully my voice will continue. I woke up and I was like, oh no, I have to give a talk this morning. I hope that I have a voice, but seems to be holding up. We'll see how we do with the show, and we will get going on it. I want to talk about a few things that were going on at the conference this morning that I was talking about, and a few other things that I'm seeing. But I did notice, and I don't know that this was intended to be a question for Office Hours, but someone in the chat room was asking about some good link building tools. And so I thought that might be something interesting to talk about for a few minutes, particularly as it's somewhat related to the talk that I gave this morning, where there were a lot of affiliate marketers in the audience. And, you know, links is always a big issue, you know. And the talk that I gave this morning was one I'm sure that all of you listening would just roll your eyes at me, all except for John Mueller, who's in the chat room joining us from Switzerland. He may not roll his eyes, but it was all about how the core to good SEO is good content and user engagement. And you hear that all the time from Google and from people like me, and people are like, yeah, whatever, it's not about good content. But I mean, honestly, SEO isn't just good content, but it's the core of it. I mean, the other aspects that tend to be really important, one is that you have a good technical infrastructure that's crawlable and indexable by the search engines. Of course, that's very important to SEO. It's also very important to understand the online environment, so understand, you know, how to use search on data, understand how searchers behave. All of that's important to SEO. And the other big thing that's really important is raising awareness, right? So using your different marketing channels to let people know that all that good content is out there, which leads me to the discussion on link building, because I think that's part of raising awareness and marketing and engagement. But if you do all of those things and your content isn't valuable and engaging, then it's not going to matter. So really at the heart of it is that's really the heart of it. And when you look at things like how do I get links and how do I raise awareness, that is going to be so much easier if you have good content. And so I showed this morning some slides of some analytics of some companies that I've talked to and then have come to me for help. Because a red flag, I think, for companies that are looking for agencies, whether it's link building agencies or SEO agencies or whatever the case may be, if they say to you, we don't need anything on your end. We're going to do all the work ourselves. You don't need to worry about it. You don't need to change your website. You know, we don't need you to do anything. We're just going to go off and do our thing, and it's going to help your SEO or link building. That, to me, generally, not all the time, right? You can't speak in absolutes, but often that's going to be a red flag, because good content and engagement are key to SEO. And link building, all that is key, having this good, engaging content. Then if people are saying that they don't need you to change your content or to improve your content or to make sure that things are engaging, if they're not looking at your actual analytics to see what content people are finding useful, to me that's a red flag, right? It means that maybe the type of activities that they're doing either aren't long-term going to be the most beneficial, or they might be doing some things that, of course, are a little bit suspicious. And so I showed some analytics of some different people who'd come to me, and it just showed that once they engaged these firms, their analytics basically from search just went to nothing, right? There were just these huge declines. And a while ago, Search Engine Roundtable had done this post that you all might have seen where in the Google Webmaster discussion forums, John actually was involved with this one, so he probably remembers. I think I talked about it a bit last week about this guy that was trying to guarantee search rankings, and someone came in and posted saying, what's the problem if someone guarantees number one results, right? And that is the problem, right? If they're doing things that are going to actually cause you harm, then you're going to pay for that in the long run, even if you're not paying them cash. So that would be going back to sort of the question on link building tools. I think there's a lot of data that's really useful for link building, and then there's a lot of things that you can do. But just make sure that having good, engaging content is always at the core of that, and that you're sort of building that into the strategy. There was a really good article that came out on Search Engine Land by one of the columnists. I think it was the Industrial Strength one that came out this week that sort of talked about the different ways that you could approach SEO, and link building was one of the sections, and I thought it was a really good sort of take on that kind of a thing. So that is what I would say there. Hopefully my voice doesn't sound too awful. I don't know. So switching gears for a second, something that just today I saw come out of Seattle. Our Seattle CTO tweeted about the company whitepages.com, which of course is based in Seattle, and of course they're sort of a competitor to the printed Yellow Pages in some ways. So I just posted the link on Twitter. Let me see if I can post the link in the chat room. But basically they've come out, they've got some data. Let me see if I can pull it up here. They did a study that showed that 70% of the respondents to the study said that they rarely or never use the white pages to look up phone numbers, and only 22% of people recycle their phone books. They have a petition ban the phone book that has more than 50,000 people have signed it, and they've announced a $10,000 grant to fund research looking at environmental impact of the printed phone books. It's just more data about local search and how people use, how people look for information. Here, I'm going to post it in the chat room. So they're just saying 70% of respondents don't use the printed phone book. I don't know what kind of a sample size that they had. But certainly it speaks to the fact that making sure that your information is in places like Google Maps, and, things like that, I think, just becomes more and more important. So take a look at that article if you're interested in local search and kind of what's going on with it, for sure. I don't know. I had some questions about some various things. What should we get into? Oh, here's another interesting one. I don't know if you guys saw this. This is really... I don't even know what to think about this. I'll post the link in the chat room. There's an article on Search Engine Land about this today. Apparently, there's this show called The Good Wife on CBS, and I guess it's a courtroom drama or something. I'm not sure. I've never seen it. But I guess there was an episode this week in which the defendant or the person on trial or whatever wanted to not say what he did for a living because he thought that it would cause the judge or the jury or whatever to think negatively about him. And his job was that he was an SEO. And so interesting that that is in the mainstream media in that way. And the article kind of goes through the transcript, but kind of reminded me of, I don't know, a couple of years ago, Fox News did this thing on, you know, the jobs that will make you the most hated or something. And they said search engine optimizer was one of them. And the thing about it is both in this show and in the Fox News story, they weren't actually talking about search engine optimization. They were talking about spam. But of course, it's still this issue that people outside of the industry tend to equate them. So craziness. I was just kind of surprised to see that pop up on a TV show like that. Someone in the chat room, Jeffrey, says Google Maps is the best. Double true. Yeah, so I did this article for MSN Small Business that will be coming out in a few weeks that kind of, it's kind of a basic overview, but kind of talks about all the things that are important for local search. And Google Places is definitely one of them. I actually go through maybe 10 different things that you should do as a local business. But it becomes trickier when you're not a local business. Let's say for hotel sites, right? Maybe you're a hotel review site. With Google introducing this places one box type thing that it's put in the search results, that's definitely thrown things into a little bit of a different situation. But certainly as a local business owner, you should definitely make sure that you've claimed your listing in Google Local, because that stuff is definitely ranking near the top. So for sure do that. Because my voice and my throat are starting to hurt, you also feel sorry for me. I think we'll take a break a little bit early so I can grab some water. But stick with us because we'll be right back on Office Hours on Webmaster Radio.
Please hold. Vanessa will be with you in a moment with more Office Hours.
2, 1, boost to ignition.
Ascend into new heights of ranking and revenue with a search engine friendly online shopping cart that's ready for liftoff. Introducing Ascender Cart. Ascender Cart optimizes your shopping cart with easy-to-use SEO tools that will help build keywords, titles, and tags for top search engine rankings. Get all of the advantages of having a shopping cart on your site and monitor your progress with regular reports in just a click. Prepare to launch your shopping cart to the top of the search engines with Ascender Cart. Learn more about what Ascender Cart can do for you at AscenderCart.com. AscenderCart.com.
SEO is like a roulette wheel, hoping that you put in the right meta tags and keywords on your page so that your site lands on the top spot. Don't just take the gamble, go with the sure thing. The premier business-to-business on-air and on-demand podcast network, webmasterradio.fm. We can place the right keywords and messages from a 30-second spot to a 30-minute monthly special. Plus, we give you the banner ads, links, and placement to bring you more traffic from not just search marketing pros listening to our SEO channel, but from all of our listeners and podcasters searching for you. Contact sales at webmasterradio.fm for a consultation today.
MySEOTool.com is your all-in-one SEO management resource. MySEOTool.com makes it easy to optimize and oversee all of your SEO efforts. Line-by-line detailed reports help you identify any problems and show you how to fix them. MySEOTool.com is completely automated. Once you use it, you will see a rise in your search rankings and traffic. Try My SEO Tool risk-free today. Go to MySEOTool.com. MySEOTool.com.
State of Search, your home for the latest search marketing news and views of the world. Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the International Marketing Channel. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
We thank you for holding. We will now connect you for more Office Hours only on webmasterradio.fm.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Office Hours on Webmaster Radio. I'm your host, Vanessa Boff. All right, so we have a question in the chat room that I'm going to turn down my volume because I can hear myself, which is just no one wants to hear themselves when they're talking. All right. So Stefan says a question on context of indexability. Some companies tend to publish high quality PDFs linked from their site rather than web pages. What is your opinion in terms of indexability on this? And we have Jill Whalen in the chat room who has replied. PDFs are indexable just fine. Usability wise, though, LEC. Don't want to get one of them in the search results. And I think Jill, I totally agree with her. John Mueller from Google says, I think there are reasons to use PDFs, even to get them indexed, but it depends on the content. Research papers and flyers come to mind. So I would agree with both of those things. PDFs are indexable by Google for sure. You see them in the search results all the time. Search engines can extract the content from them. So that's not a problem. The big problem, I think, is that generally when you click on a PDF in the search results, so first of all, from a usability perspective, some people just don't want to click on a PDF, right? Because they know that it's going to slow them down, it's going to load up Adobe, it's going to pop it up, and it's kind of a pain. But I think that you also have a problem with engagement and conversion, because if someone's landed on a PDF in the search results, they're just engaging with that PDF. They're not really engaging with your site, so they're not as likely to continue on to other pages of your site or to convert. The new Chrome, according to John, is awesome fast with PDFs, and Stefan says not in Chrome, it's quite fast. Yeah, you guys, so that's totally true that in Chrome, PDFs are really fast, but not everyone's using Chrome, right? So you really have to think about your whole audience. And I still think that it's the case that if you click on the PDF from search results and you click the back button, even in Chrome, you're not going to get to the website. And the PDF is unlikely to have your navigation, your call to action, your header, and all that. So that's just something to think about. I think that John is right that there are times when you would want to have something in PDF. But I would think about that engagement and conversion when you're thinking about doing that. So for sure, I would look into that. There's something else, though, that I wanted to bring up to you all. And that is that Google on the Google blog just posted that Eric Schmidt is no longer going to be the CEO of Google. And he is instead going to be the chairman. So let's read what this has to say. I'm going to have to grab it back here. So he says that Larry is now going to be CEO. So Larry will lead product development and technology strategy and will take charge of our day-to-day operations as Google's chief executive officer. Sergey has decided to devote his time and energy to strategic projects, in particular working on new products. His title will be co-founder. He's an innovator and entrepreneur. And then Eric says, as executive chairman, I will focus on wherever I add the greatest value, deals, partnerships, customers, broader business relationships, government outreach, technology through leadership, and I will act internally as an advisor to Larry and Sergey. So that will be interesting. So basically, it means that Larry is sort of taking charge of the direction of the company. Sergey is going to be working on sort of new innovative stuff, and Eric's going to be sort of doing some side stuff that's interesting to Google and useful for them, such as business deals and government stuff, but not the general direction of the company. So I'm not sure how much that's going to change both the internal operation as well as the direction of Google, but certainly that's going to be a big change for them. Oh, apparently we're still talking about Chrome in the chat room. Brasco, who can also chime in here because he has control of the microphone, says, Chrome is fast, but it struggles loading Flash and Java to the point of crashing when I'm browsing.
Yeah, there's always points where I'm trying to get and load up files. And if it's there's always an issue where Adobe Shockwave comes up and there's some issue where it's kind of doesn't load up. Or sometimes there's even audio.
You know, my Shockwave crashes all the time.
Oh, yeah.
In Chrome. I don't know why. It is weird, though. And then once that happens, like your mail doesn't work and you can't load attachments anymore and all this weird stuff happens.
Or audio won't play off of the browser either. Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Although I do like Chrome. I'm actually using Chrome right now in the chat room.
Lightning fast. It's great to load stuff up.
It's absolutely very fast. Yeah. Very, very fast. I do like it. I also wanted to point out, who was it that said this? G1, who actually has a longer name, but I'm kind of sick right now. So, but he says you can use analytics to measure visits which go to PDFs never to return. And I think that's probably a good thing to measure. I would be kind of surprised that if many people would land from a search result onto a PDF and then somehow manage to continue on to the site, right? Because there's just not really a good funnel for that. But, you know, you really want to look at the data because that's just my guess. So yeah, that's what I would say for that. So what's going on with you, Brasco?
Wow, on the spot. No, actually, things have been good. Just grinding, running the daily grind, pretty much.
Yeah.
Post holidays, like nothing else is just going on. Been putting my head down to the work in the station. Like, you know, we're adding new stuff here and there. It's work on my mind. That's pretty much all there is now these
days. You guys are working hard over there.
Yeah. Well, we launched 2 shows this month, and there's more on the way. There's a lot more stuff that's happening.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that's going on here that people might be interested in is we're getting ready for SMX West.
Yes.
And I've had a lot of people ask me, so it might be a good idea just to kind of run down how that works a little bit. So I've had a lot of people ping me on speaking, and people ping me in various places, you know, Facebook, Twitter, chat room, whatever. So I organize several of the sessions. I forget, maybe 5 or 6 this time. But the way, at least it works for SMX, and each conference kind of does its own thing, is that there's a period of time where the pitch form is open for sessions. So if you have an idea for a session you want to speak on, then there's a period of time where the pitch form is open. So then basically, will Danny and Chris take all of those pitches, as well as other things that they know that they want to do, and they build an agenda out of that. And so then there's a second speaker pitch form period, which is, okay, you can't pitch a session now, but you can pitch to speak on a session that we have on the agenda. And so that's the period that we're in. Now, there are times when a session that's on the agenda won't be available in that second phase. And I've had a lot of people ask me about that because one of my sessions is that way. So I get a lot of email from people saying, hey, this wasn't available in the pitch form, so I'm emailing you because I want to pitch it. So actually, if a session isn't available in the pitch form, it means that they don't need any speakers, that it's already full. So I've had some people say, well, how early did I have to have gotten in? You know, why is it already full? And it really isn't exactly that way. What happens is that during that agenda phase, if we choose to add a session to the agenda that someone pitched, then generally they're going to be a speaker. And if other people pitched similar sessions, we might go, oh, yeah, these are good. And so it just might be that we chose that speaker selection process during that first phase. So it wouldn't have mattered how early you got in for the second phase. They would have been closed. What happens for the second phase is for any sessions that are open, that stays open till the 20th, which is today. If you do want to speak at SMX West, get your pitches in today. So after the pitch form closes, then over the next week, we'll be looking over all those. So I've had some people who've pitched that said, hey, I haven't heard from you yet. But the reason they haven't heard from me is that I want to wait until the form closes to give everyone an opportunity to pitch before I pick the speaker. So if you did pitch, you should be hearing within probably a week or two. Wait for that. And so SMX West is, I believe, starting March the 7th, like March the 7th through 10th or something. And yes, as you guys are saying in the chat room, it's moved to San Jose this time. And I do like San Jose. I agree with Jill that, you know, you can walk around. There's a lot more things to do, whereas Santa Clara, it's a little bit out a ways. So So yeah, so if you're interested in speaking or kind of want to know how the process works, that's kind of where we are. If you want to attend SMX West, the agenda is posted at searchmarketingexpo.com, so you can go take a look. I'm doing the technical sessions. I'm doing an attribution session again this time, and then I'm on the Ask the SEOs panel that we generally do. So yeah. So with that, I think maybe we'll wrap things up to help my poor hurry throat. You're supposed to feel sorry for me. I'm supposed to hear you crying right now. Thank you. I feel a lot better. But thanks everyone for joining us. You can always send your questions in through the variety of methods that we have. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and of course, please join us live and in the chat room every Thursday afternoon at 1 Pacific.